What's up, race fans? You have just entered the right place to talk about everything racing and go for another ride on the In the Groove podcast with your host, Slammin' Sam Smith.
Ladies and gentlemen, sit back, strap in, don't go anywhere.
What's up, everybody? How's it going? It's been a while since we've been on here. I've been doing a little bit more of the drag racing stuff and getting everything together for the 2021 race season here in Minot, North Dakota, that just pretty much opened up in this area. So it's going to be a lot to talk about and a lot to dive into. All right, everybody, so let's just dive right into it. So as you can see up in the top corner, racing was canceled. That R word that we hate the most, but we need it here in the North Dakota area. A little bit of rain fell Sunday that canceled it. So unfortunately, we're not doing our race review of the full weekend, but we are going to talk some circle track racing. I will talk a little drag racing on my other podcast. That is Power Hour with my friend and my co-host Lee. We'll talk about a little bit of that, so if you check that out. But I got a guest on tonight that, you know, did some racing down in the Arizona area this past year, you know, was a part of the Williston Basin Speedway. I mean, he's done quite a bit there in the Williston area. So without further ado, I'm going to bring on tonight's guest that is none other than the 10J of Jake Nelson. What's up, buddy? How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Man, just another day here in North Dakota. I mean, the sun was shining, but it was like 40 degrees, so didn't really know if I should be wearing a hoodie today or what. So, you know, kind of confusing.
Yeah. Well, it was definitely a shock for me. I mean, I've been in sunny Arizona all winter, and I mean, when I left, I think it was 85, and now this cold temperature again, I was freezing, so trying to get warm back up again and get used to this is kind of different. So,
yeah, and you talk about being in Arizona. That must have been nice. You got to do some racing. So, let's just start from the beginning. The people that don't know who you are, you know, just tell them who you are, what class you're in, and what's up for the 2021 race season.
Well, my name is Jake Nelson. I'm from Williston, North Dakota. I've been racing all over. This is my ninth year racing. I've raced from Iowa to North Dakota to Arizona now. We run the Duel in the Desert last fall, racing Canada. I mean, and I've been racing a stock car for 9 years. Just this year, a little bit, I've dabbled. I had a sport mod before when I was like 15, didn't last very long, but I actually went to work for a guy that has a sport mod, and I was racing his car. I think I raced it 5 or 6 times this winter, and man, it was a lot of fun. So been doing a lot of different things, that's for sure. So
what is that like? I mean, the stock car class here in Minot, I mean, that's a pretty tough class, but then even the sport mod class, it's got some heavy hitters in it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'll be honest with you, the stock cars, I don't care where you go, anywhere in the United States is the class to watch. I mean, the action is so close, and on any given night, it doesn't matter who it is. I mean, I truthfully think around here we have, I would say, you know, it's changed so much in the last couple of years because guys have either moved up, moved down, or not racing anymore. But I would say consistently we have 12 guys every night in the stock car class that can win. It doesn't matter who it is. It's really cool to know that I'm a part of that and be a part of that week in and week out. It's a blast. And same thing with the sport mods. I mean, the sport mods have a lot of good guys all over the country. But I definitely think around North Dakota, we have some of the top class of sport mod drivers. I mean, for example, Lodenschlager, Kelly Henderson, who's raced stock cars for
we don't talk about Kelly yet on here because we need to get him on here at some point. I've told him, you know, last year was supposed to be his last tour. Now it's his comeback tour. So we don't give him the credit that he deserves on this show yet.
Well, and you shouldn't, because I'm sure he's got one more year to, like, keep going, I'm sure, or something. Or, yeah, you know, you never know. He might end up in a stock car. Or maybe he'll just be a record driver in the next coming year. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, I keep telling him, like, Hollywood, dude, you got to come on. People really want to know what's going on here. You told everyone you were done. You had the tears, you know, all this. And now, oh, yep, change your plans. We're going racing again. So,
You know, when it's in your blood, it's hard to give it up.
And see, and that's weird. Like, I always hear about that. People are like, man, it's in your blood. I'm, you know, formerly a drag racer. I haven't raced in, this will be my fourth season that I've taken off. But, you know, it's weird just because there's something about it, going to the racetrack every weekend, seeing you guys being in the pits, helping Steven, helping Rob, you know, Wozniacki, and the list goes on. But helping you guys, it makes me want to buy one of these cars, not going to lie. But I just don't know if I could commit to it like that, because I know how I am about drag racing. And I think the hustle and the bustle and the wrecks and all that, I don't think I'd like it too much.
Well, and trust me, I tell you what, it's been tough. I mean, I myself, I'm very fortunate. I have two guys that help me week in, week out, John and Steve Lowe. They help me a lot. I mean, that they're there consistently, you know. But, you know, a lot of the times, you know, sometimes during the races, they got families and everything else. They can't always be at the races, but they can always be here during the week most of the time. And I'm very fortunate for them. But now I've actually took a little different role. I sold cars for Red Rock Ford, one of my big sponsors here, for 3.5 years. But I took a different job last fall, and now one of my jobs is actually being a crew guy for Seth Dixon at SRD Motorsports. He's got two cars, a stock car and a sport mod. And I'm very fortunate. It's an opportunity of a lifetime. It's actually a dream job. And, you know, that's how I got to go racing in Arizona and Vegas and everything else was because of him. But now I now have three cars to get done during the week instead of just one. And I tell you what, talk about a full-time job. I mean, you know, just the maintenance, you know, you think if you're just changing oil and tires and everything else, times that by three every week, you know, and getting the trailer ready and everything else. And, you know, and if we have a hiccup or a wreck or anything, you know, it falls on me, and which I don't mind that. It's just a lot of work, but I love it. And that's the passion I have for the sport, you know, and that's, like I said, it's a dream job. So I can't go wrong.
All right. Well, since you went there, how much time, like if someone is out there that's thinking about getting into the sport or like is wondering how much time you guys put in on one car, not three cars, on one car, how much time a week should a person allot to just working on the car, tweaking things, checking things over?
I mean, truthfully, I mean, there's a list that I try to consistently go over every week, or at least write my own list of what to do and what to check, you know. It all depends on how the weekend went before. But I mean, man, there was times where there's sometimes you can work on it an hour a night, 2 hours a night, or if you had a bad weekend, you could be four hours a night up till Saturday. And maybe even on Friday, you're doing up to 5 hours till midnight. Just depends, you know, depends on how you're work with that day. Or what else happened? I mean, these things are a lot of work, but you know what? Seeing yourself go up front and, you know, do good is all worth it in the end. It's just a lot of work, but they're fun, you know, and that's the thing. I encourage people to get them, and because we need new people out there, and they're fun.
Mad Bro Motorsports, located North Hill, Minot, North Dakota, the leading performance and parts store. If there's anything you need for your hot rod, give Slammin' Sam and the gang a call. 701-720-7996. Again, that is Mad Bro Motorsports. 701-720-7996.
On the way to being free.
Can't thank Mad Bro Motorsports enough. If there's any parts or anything that you need for the race season, we order twice a week and we have things in stock. So again, thank you to Mad Bro Motorsports for being a part of this great podcast. But like Jake was saying, you can't have enough time in a week. So Jake, your whole schedule and everything has changed in the 2021 race season. Last year, you were the president of, you know, the Williston Basin Speedway. This year, you've taking a step back as new jobs, family, everything like that. So you may have a little bit more time in the shop unless you got to go home and change diapers, right?
No, we don't got to worry about that part. That's not going to happen anytime soon. But it just, you know, I really enjoyed being the president of the Williston Basin Speedway. I mean, we did a lot of great things out there as a board and a club. It was awesome. I mean, they did a really, really good job, and that we did a lot of cool things. Like one of the things I know I'm happy to say that last year that we got something new for Williston was the victory lane, and the victory lane, pulling down the victory lane and seeing that excitement out of drivers and everything else. It got the crowd going, you know, that's something new to Williston and stuff like that. And these guys are constantly, you know, redoing, you know, or constantly doing something different every year to improve the place. And it really makes me happy to see that. And I was happy doing what I was doing. It got to be to the point to where with me and the job, it just wasn't going to work. And I didn't want to leave the guys hanging, but I kind of talked to them and I saw what was best. And we kind of all agreed that, you know, like it's just better if someone's here consistent, because in the wintertime with my job, I'm not here, you know, and for meetings and everything else, it was tough. It was tough to be not, if I was the president, you know, it was going to be tough for me to be the face when I'm not here. So that was a tough part, but you know, I'm going to continue to help them guys as much as possible. I'm not going to leave them stranded or nothing like that, you know, and I want to be there to help them, and I will help them. It doesn't matter what it is, I'll help them. So I wish the best of luck in the 2021 season to the Williston Basin Speedway board, and I'll be there to help them. But like I told them, it was just one of them deals where the life changes, and that's kind of where I ended up.
No, and I totally understand it, you know, and on previous podcasts, I've talked to different racers and different people on the board and things like that, and I've kind of posed the question simply because where I come from, a lot of the tracks aren't board ran, they're promoter ran, and I, if you want to talk about it, we can, and if you don't, you can just tell me you don't want to talk about it, but I always kind of ask the question, is it different working with a board now that you have, you know, maybe five different ideas or six different ideas versus one person saying, hey, this is what I think we should do. And if it's good, it's good. If it's bad, it's bad.
You know, and I've seen it from two different sides. You know, I'm very good friends with a couple guys from Iowa that, you know, promote the racetrack. And I've got to know some people down in Arizona too. There's two different ways to look at it, I guess. From the board aspect of things, it takes a little bit more to get everybody on the same page of what you want to do. Like, if new things, it's just like anything. Not everything new is a good thing. So you have to see the good and the bad in it, you know? Whereas when you're a promoter, it's your way or the highway. You know what I mean? It's your choice. You tell them what to do. And if it don't work, now it's your money that's gone, not the board. You know, whereas a board has the final decision to be like, you know, either that's a stupid idea or, you know, let's try it and let's experiment. You know, that's the difference. Whereas if you're a promoter, it's all money out of your pocket. So if you're willing to risk it, it's gone. Or if it works good, it's more money in your pocket. Whereas a board is, you're risking losing, you know, I'm going to say, I don't know, whatever. Some boards have more money than others, but I'm going to say $10,000, whatever it is. You have that $10,000 to basically gamble with, you know. And that's all sponsor money and, you know, people that have gave money to the racetrack to see the racetrack succeed. Whereas when you're a promoter, it's your money out of your pocket, however much you want to invest. So it's a different aspect of things. But I definitely can tell you that the board thing is a good thing and it's a bad thing at the same time, because not everyone's going to agree. You know what I mean? And but that's a good, bad thing to have for a racetrack, because you see different aspects of things. So, and that's where I don't think the board thing's a bad thing, and I don't think the promoter thing's a bad thing. It's just how you want to look at it is basically the way I see it.
Yeah, and I mean, I simply asked because, you know, I know you were a part of that, and I just want to shed light on it. You know, this, and we talk about it a lot on the drag racing side, is we don't talk enough about what happens once the racetrack is closed, right? I mean, we see it across, we see it across the world right now. Racetracks closing, you know, people shutting down, but it's like, why? So I think to talk about it and to put it in the forefront of, hey, these are the ideas, these are what people in the past are thinking and people in the, you know, future are thinking. And so, I mean, I think exactly what you said is, you know, someone, when it's one person, it may be like, hey, man, this is my idea. I'm going to stick my neck out there. And if I lose, I lose big. But then with a board, you're like, okay, hey, maybe this idea, maybe tweak that idea a little bit more.
Well, and a prime example, I mean, Arizona Speedway, I've just been racing there all winter. They're going to lose their track. And we were supposed to, well, we were supposed to race the last dance in the beginning of April. And they had 171 cars show up to this place. I mean, between sprint cars and wingless sprint cars and modifieds and everything, stock cars. I mean, everybody from around the country came because this track was getting shut down by the county or either county or state of Arizona, all because of a noise ordinance. And I'm telling you right now, this place is in the middle of nowhere. And I mean, there ain't a house even close, but somehow, some way, someone got enough power and they got it done. Well, unfortunately, they're going to lose their track, but they ended up getting an extension to finish out their season till November. But no matter what everybody thinks, that track's gone, and it's never going to be back. You know, and I don't, like you said, you don't want to see tracks closing, but that's one of them is a prime example. That's a promoter-ran track. That's his livelihood. That's what he does for money, and he's losing it. That's all he got.
Yeah, no, you know.
It's tough.
Yeah, we just lost in the drag racing world in HRA just past this weekend. We lost Atlanta Dragway. I mean, it sucks. I mean, that's, I have friends that's their home track. That would be like losing Minot, you know? As much as people can say, hey, I'm never coming back here. Hey, I hate this place. You guys need to do this, this, and this. But to lose your own track in your own backyard, I mean, it definitely sucks, and no one wants to see that. So, I mean, yes, we all get pissed off, but perfect example is your post on Facebook. You know, the season may not be going good. You may not want to say it, but you get on the track and you see a 13-year-old kid waving the flag. I mean, if you want to touch base on that, I've talked about it here before, but I think it's something great to see as younger people in our sport.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm not kidding you when I say that literally made my whole weekend. I mean, we've been racing so much and I've seen a lot of different things at different racetracks, and I'm only 22 years old, but I've raced at a lot of different racetracks so far, and I've been very fortunate to do that. And I've seen a lot of different techniques. I mean, I've been to a racetrack in Arizona where the race receiver didn't even work, and we had to rely on the flag man. Now, you talk about that's difficult. That's something else, you know? Then I've also been to a racetrack where they waved the white flag 3 times on us. You know, you've seen different things, and that's not dogging on anybody. I'm just saying there's you've seen different things at different places that just make you go, oh my, you know, don't take for granted what you have. But to see Max up there flagging and see how much he enjoys doing that, it's just so much fun. I mean, me being in the driver's seat and looking up there and seeing Max waving it and just seeing how excited he is about waving it, you know, and I know that kid someday is going to have a race car. That's the crappy part. You know, I don't think he's going to want a flag forever, but telling you that literally made my you know weekend was just seeing Max again and seeing how excited he was. I mean, go look at that. I don't know if you have a picture of it, but go look at the picture from Victory Lane with him holding the flag behind Jordan for the one feature that we got to run last night in Minot. I mean, just excited. I mean, if that doesn't make you excited seeing that picture, I don't know what does.
No, and it's awesome. Like I actually the first time I saw it, forget who I was helping Rob Stenvold, or I think it was Rob was, you know, on the track, and we go down and we're in the center, and I look up and it was last year, and I'm like, who is that standing next to Brandon? And I pull out my camera, zoom in on him, and sure enough, it's Max. And I'm like, he's a kid. But I mean, hey, when your family's involved in it and you're bred into the sport, you have no choice but to love what you do and, hey, say, you know what, Dad? This is what I want to do. I want to help out. I want to do my share. And now he's, I mean, the kid's probably going to get some top-notch races at a young age because he's doing a damn good job.
Yeah, and you know what? I know something. Last year at the end of the year, we had him come over. Hey, it was the last doubleheader in Wilson, and I said, Max, tell you what, you think you can do double flags, double checkered flags? He looks at me and goes, I think I could try it. Sure as heck, he tried it and he did it. And, you know, he was mad. I didn't do it good enough, he said. But you know what? It was good enough for me. He actually did that. It was just like, yeah, that's cool, you know. Because that's the big shows you see that at. You know, not at the time he was 12, you know. Like, you don't see that. Most people can't do that.
Oh, yeah. So, all right. So, I mean, we're diving into it. Racing, you did some stuff in Arizona. We've talked a little bit about that. So my next big question to you, how do we get more kids like Max? Like, I'm trying to think of young kids that are driving right now. There's a couple in the sport compact class, but how do we get these younger kids off of the video games and at the racetrack every weekend?
You know, you're right. Off the video games is one thing, you know, because, like, that's one thing I'm very fortunate about with my parents. Like, I grew up. You know, we were fishing, you know, all the time. We, you know, my grandpa owned a construction business, so I was running equipment all the time. I just loved to do, you know, equipment and driving something was my ideal thing, you know. So I would say the way to get kids involved is just bring them to the races. And you know what? If you know that they're interested in it and they actually take an interest in it, spend a little extra money and buy a pit pass. Bring them into the pit. You don't have to know anybody. You know, because there's enough people around. But if you stop and look, most drivers will actually talk to you and, you know, explain things. And if they have questions, this goes to all drivers. And I said this forever because I'll never forget that one time that I was, when I was a kid, I want to say it was either Jorn Boyce or Jason Storbach. And they both did it to me. I can remember. But they took time to talk to me and actually, you know, got me interested in and excited about going to the races and stuff like that. You know, they took time. So this is to all the racers out there. And I promise you, take time and talk to your fans, take time, talk to the kids, take time. And when people are around, you know, have a good time with them, whether you've had a bad night or not, just try your best to talk to them, and cause that is the future of racing, or could be one of your biggest fans, you know, that are weekly supporters of you. Just take time to talk to them. Trust me, it'll in the end, it'll be awesome. You know, I remember when I was a kid, you know, getting all the cards and everything, and that's why I bought, you know, I don't know if you've seen them, Sam, but I have these flags that have my number on them, Cam Koozie's, little dog tags. It might cost me a couple $100, but to see, whereas one time I remember in Williston, I was going out to look at the racetrack, and I looked up there, and I gave so many of these suckers away that all I could see in the stands were my Jake Nelson flags just waving in the air. You know what I mean? And that made me smile because everybody, I knew that I just probably gained a fan for life, whether it was, you know, because he thought it was cool or whatever, but they're always going to remember that. So I would say to get kids involved and everything else, I mean, it's, you know, bring them down to the pits, you know, bring them to the races. You got to come to the races. And even if a little kid's like, hey, can I come help you work on your car someday? You know, obviously, you know, these cars are dangerous sometimes. So there's things you can't, you know, have them work on or help you. But, you know, maybe invite them out one night and have them look over the car and sit in it or whatever it is. But, you know, that's Mad Mike Hagan took me under his wing, you know, when I was 10 years old. Dusty Falcon is the one who got me into it. But Mike has taken me a lot of different places and shown me a lot of different things. And I'll always be grateful for that. But I'll tell you what, he actually let me help when I was 10 or 11, you know, whether it was just taking a tire off or scraping mud, you know, them guys always, Travis, the whole Bad Boys Racing, I mean, Travis, Mike, Dusty, you know, Shane Nearing there for a while, you know, Darren Schatz, everybody in that group, you know, they took me in and they actually allowed me to do all that stuff. And still to this day, I remember things. I remember one year in the Modifieds when Mike, it was Travis's first year, I want to say. And that year, it was the Ultimate Motor Days. And I'm not kidding you. I remember the most is we changed 7 motors that year between Travis and Mike, you know. And I didn't even know what a motor was hardly at that time. but that's something that sticks in my head forever, you know, and I'll forever be grateful for them guys.
All right, what's up, everybody? We've all been in the shop, and we have those tools that we just don't like to use. Well, I've got a solution for that. Go over to powerbuilt.com and use product code MADBRO15 at checkout and save 15% while you're doing it. I mean, it's easy. I'm talking high quality and durable tools. Lifetime warranty. So if you break it, it breaks, or just something happens, you send it back. No questions asked. Proven performance. I'm talking people in the NHRA and everywhere else are using these tools. So why don't you go over to powerbuilt.com right now, use product code 15 at checkout and save yourself 15%. Again, product code MADBRO15, save 15%. Where is my 10 millimeter? That's always a question that should be asked. So go over to PowerBuild Tools and save 15%. Use product code MADBRO15, save 15%. If you're looking at their sale prices, doesn't matter. You save 15% off of their sale prices. So for your trailer, your hot rod shop, whatever you got, you need those. So you talked about it. You talked about Mad Mike Hagan. Man, 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 is he having a not so good start to this year. I mean, 12 lap. What is it? I think he had 12 laps on that motor and kibosh.
Yeah.
I mean, the bad luck has already started. He kind of ended his year, you know, with some hurt motors and different things, hurt cars. So, and that has to suck.
Yeah, it does. But you know what? I know Mike well enough and we're good enough friends. And I can probably say this without him getting mad at me, but don't be surprised if Mad Mike ain't there this weekend.
I talked to him and I'm like, how's it going? Knowing that it blew up. And I'm like, how's it going? He's like, well, it's going pretty rough, but we'll be back. And I'm like, well, that's typical of him to say that. But so getting into your race competitors. I mean, like you said, you got Rob Hill. Rob Stenvold. You've got Brett Wozniacki, the Woz. You've got the Alaskan Squirrel. He's in your class, right?
No, he's in hobby.
He's in hobby. Sorry. You've got the Hagans. You've got the Flory. I mean, geez, Louise, you can't mention that class without talking about them. You guys got a stacked class.
And you're forgetting about Jordan Boyce. You know, and
you can't forget about the mullet machine. You can't forget.
No, absolutely not. I mean, I'll tell you right now, our class. I will say this, and I believe in this all the way around. I've raced in Iowa, like I said. And I've raced in Arizona and a couple other places. Our stock car class up here in North Dakota is stout. When I say stout, I mean down in Iowa, they got the Murdys. They got the Todd Reisler. They got the Troy Jerovitz. They got Chance Hollins. Those are all guys, but they don't race weekly together because there's so many tracks. So they kind of get to spread out a little bit. They got heavy hitters, you know. And, you know, down in Arizona, like, I tell you what, I've had to race Zach and Anthony Madrid almost every single night down there, and they're good. I mean, Anthony, Zach's dad, has the most IMCA or the most wins, either first or second behind Ricky Thornton in the state of Arizona. I mean, those guys are tough. But going back to North Dakota, like you said, we have Dalton Joe, we got Jordan Boyce, we got Rob Stenvold, we got Mike Hagan, we got, Wozniacki, you got Will Shresky, you got Bob Fugman, you got both the Swallers. There's so many people. Travis Ulmer, you know,
you cannot forget Keith. You can't forget Keith Maddox when he decides to race, but you know.
Well, and that is true. All these guys are a factor every single night. Like for example, I mean, I down in Dickinson this last weekend. I started on the pole. Dalton started fourth, right? I led the thing all the way to four to go. I bobbled just a tiny bit, and that's all it took. And Dalton slipped around me. I mean, that's all it took. You know, the amount of experience and technology and stuff that these guys have behind them up here in North Dakota is crazy. I mean, just think between Mike Hagan and Jorn Boyce, there's over 70 years of racing in there, because I think they're both close to 35 years of racing in both of them. With each of them have about 35 years, you know, and they ran modifieds. I mean, Mike Hagan sat out on the pole of Super Nationals in 2015. Jorn Boyce has won the Race of Champions in a modified. You know, these are all guys that we race against weekly, you know, as we're in Iowa and these places, they get to spread out a little bit. They don't have the same people where we do week in and week out, so that you have to be on your game in the stock car class. I really truthfully think that.
No, and I mean, it definitely comes to factor, you know, when you guys get together for the tour. I mean, I follow it, you know, you go around and you go to Jamestown and then you miss, you know, a couple. You guys can't go to Estevan right now because for some reason the northern borders aren't open, but the southern borders are. I don't know, being a kid from California makes no sense to me, but we don't talk politics on the show at all. But, you know, some things just don't make sense and don't add up. But, you know, it's just heavy hitters across the board. And it's crazy to believe when I tell people, oh, I'm from North Dakota. Like when I go to PRI and all these different race things, people are like, you're from North Dakota? They're like, they've got, you know, being a drag racer, they're like, but they've got some really good circle track race. And I'm like, how do you know that? Like, but it's weird because a lot of people that are in the racing industry, especially in the circle track world, they know about North Dakota, you know, that Minnesota stuff like that. So I think it's, you know, slept on by some, but respected by many.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's funny that you say that, because there's been a running joke between me and Zach Madrid and Anthony Madrid from Arizona. They have a brand new IROC car, IROC soccer, the first one they've ever built. And I ran second to these guys four times, and I raced down there six times in my own personal car, because I just got a new car together this winter. And so I didn't race for a little bit, but I ran second four times to these guys, and they keep saying, well, when we come up on the tour, get ready to run second. And I told them flat out, I said, if I run second on the tour to you guys, that'll be a win. I said, because if you guys win the tour, that's going to be a huge win for you. I'm not saying that they're not fast. I'm just saying that we got about 11 more guys that could be just as fast, if not faster.
Yeah, you know, I still can't remember his name. He won the tour last year. He has a wicked
Devin
setup.
Bergen?
Yes, wicked setup in that thing. When I first saw him in Jamestown, the first night, I roll into Jamestown with my buddy, and we're watching, and he's like, dude, check out this car. Not going to lie to you. I look at his car, and I'm like, okay. You see Rob Stenvold's car, right? Super nice car. You see Wozniacki's car, super nice car. Your car, you know, the Flores car. You see cars like this, and you're like, man, that car, I mean, it's not anything to brag home to mom about. But he gets on the track, and he's like, you know, nothing impressive. He wins his heat race. He comes back in for the feature, and I'm like, all right. And he's like, just watch. I'm like, okay, whatever. And then all of a sudden, that car took the high side in Jamestown, and oh my, I can honestly say I've never seen a car roll over like that. Suspension worked phenomenal. I looked at my buddy and said, he's not, like, his springs have got to be off. Something's not right there. But it just shows, like, if you take the time and you put the time and the effort in during the off season, go race in Arizona, go race different places, it pays off.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that Elijah Zevenbergen has been coming up here since, I think, I want to say he's been coming up here since 2013. And I think he's lost the tour, the actual tour. I think he's lost it twice since then. Won the Dalton Flory on the last night in 2014. And I can't remember. There's one other time he lost it, but he ended up second still. I can't remember who it was, but I mean, it was one of them deals where, and Elijah has won, and little does, you know, maybe people don't know, but Elijah's won Super Nationals before too. I mean, that's another big IMCA stock car event. He's won that deal. He's won this tour multiple times. He's won a lot of big, big paying shows. So when these guys come to town, they mean business. I mean, that's one thing I found out in traveling all over the places. Just because a car don't look the best, That's the one to look out for. That is the one to look out for, because that's the fastest car probably in the pit.
Now, I mean, it's crazy to see, like you said, all these people put in all this time, and you can honestly tell that car has had its time. He's figured it out, and he's done it the right way. But going along with that, if there was any class right now that Jake could say, you know what, guys, I've got what I want, I'm doing what I want right now, what class would you ditch the stock car for and go to?
Modified. I've wanted to race a modified. You know, I raced that sport mod a lot, you know, this last winter, and had a lot of time in it and got to figure it out. Where when I raced the sport mod before, I'd only been racing for like 2 years. So, I mean, I wasn't very good in it. I mean, I won a heat race, but that don't really count for much in my eyes. But this sport mod deal, like that, it opened up my eyes to how a modified works, and, you know, and getting driving it off the right front, you know, whereas your stock car, you kind of drive it off the right rear. And I've always wanted to race a modified. Do I think I'm to that level yet? No. Do I want to someday? Absolutely. Will I someday? Probably. Do I know when? No. But I will race a modified before I ever quit racing.
You just got to call your homeboy, you know, down there in the Williston area. He's got the same name as you, but I think they call him OPJ. Maybe, you know, he can get you. Maybe, you know, he can get you in one. I'm pretty sure he can, but, you know.
You know, maybe he might be able to, but, you know, it's cabin season, and, you know, he's busy baling hay and everything else. I don't know if he'd have time. That guy, he's pretty busy nowadays, you know. That or his golf schedule. His golf schedule gets in the middle of that stuff, too, so.
Wow. I mean, hey, you know, summers are short here, so you gotta fit everything in as soon as you can. I mean, you know, you could probably catch the Hagen, you know, Tyler out there taking pictures or something like that. So who knows? You may not just get some sweet shots from you in your car, but maybe while you're on the golf course too, maybe you and Jake can get a little game in, talk about race cars.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, Tyler's one of my best friends, you know, but tell you what, I'd never get so much grief as much as I do from him. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. I could do something so perfect, and Tyler will get me on it every single time. Man, I mean, that's the kind of friendship we have. And, you know, and the one thing I'll tell you about Tyler, just when you think you have him, he'll get you back even worse.
Oh, I know. him and Evan Stenvold came on the show a couple weeks ago, and kind of had to put me in a little hiatus. They played the biggest joke on me, told me that Grandpa Rob Stenvold, got a modified, and that he got his car and just all this stuff. And they played along with it fairly well and had me honestly believing it. I was like, all right, here we go. Like, another generation of Stenvolds out at the racetrack. And finally, they came clean and told me that it was all a big scheme that they had been planning for a couple weeks.
Yeah, those two are something else, I tell you what.
Yep. So, you know, hey, wrapping it up here before we go or anything like that, you know, I talked to Larry McFall earlier this year, and Larry said that he may be hanging it up, coming to an end. Is that something that us in the North Dakota area are ready for? Are we prepared to lose a legend like him on the microphone? Or what has that story meant for you, for Larry McFall, and just the people that we've had the luxury of having announced for us in this North Dakota area?
Well, you know, it kind of goes back a long ways for me too. I mean, Larry's been around forever, and he's been announcing forever, and I have a lot of respect for Larry. But, you know, I can also see too at the same time, you know, after so many years of that gets tough. I mean, traveling every weekend, you know, to go announce at different places. And I know he has fun doing it. You know, we just saw a couple years ago, Lindsay Lawson, he's still around, but he's more in the pit side of things, helping Isaac Sondrell. But, you know, he was every week, you know, he was announcing and everything else. And, you know, and it does suck. You know, one of the persons I remember the most from the Williston area, which I don't know if you would know this, was Ralph Lockwood. He was the announcer at the racetrack here for a long time, and he kind of, same thing happened. He got tired of it, and then he kind of moved on. He did a lot of the sports. He was all into sports, baseball, basketball, football. That's what he was, but he also came to the racetrack and did that for us. And then that's when Larry kind of came in, you know, and I think Larry was in there a little bit too. That was when I was pretty little, so I can't remember, but the Ralph Lockwood, I remember him very clearly here. So, you know, seeing that kind of die off, that does suck. But, you know, I'll tell you right now, one thing I said a long time ago is, once I'm done racing, you know, and I don't want to race no more, that's what I want to do. I would love to announce. I want to be an announcer at the races someday because I think it's a lot of fun. I mean, I don't know if you remember last year, but when I was the president last year in the 2020 season, every time at intermission, I would go up and have a conversation with Larry. And, it, you know, sometimes it went off in left field, but sometimes we were right in the middle of it. But you know what? He said that was really cool for me to do that because it got the crowd, you know, excited. It was a different voice, you know, someone different, you know. So I, you know, hopefully one day, you know, when I'm all done, I would like to do what Larry's doing, you know. And do I want to see him go? No, not at all. But hopefully I learned from him too.
We don't want to see the Larry McFall leave, but it may happen, and who knows, if Jake steps up, I think that'd be a great thing. I mean, you know, we, like I said, we need more younger people to fill the void of what's going to take place. You know, it's due process. It's going to happen. At some point, our favorites, our legends, and everything like that are going to move on, and we have to be able to find someone or have someone fill that void. And, you know, that's the great thing about kind of starting Outlaw Performance ENT. I get that chance to do out of 3 and 4 and talk to you guys. Give that person that's sitting outside an inside look at who this driver really is. You know, we always hear you guys thanking your sponsors and everything like that, but we don't get to hear enough of the stories that are told once you guys pack up and make that 2 to 3 hour trip, maybe 4 to 6 hour trip back home, you know, on a Sunday night or on a Saturday night after racing. And I think to continue the talk of motorsports is the only way to continue the growth of motorsports. So for you, what's your favorite? I mean, other than Williston, that's your hometown track. What's your favorite racetrack to go to?
Well, put you know, on the spot. I'll tell you what, you are putting me on the spot in a little bit here, but there's a track. You guys are going to laugh at me for this, but there's a track in Webster City, Iowa. A big old half mile. They call it the historic half mile. 2019, I bought a brand spanking new car. Went there. We were just going to test. We were just going to have fun with it and everything else and just see how we did. Well, we went out brand new. We finished at 5 o'clock at Harris Auto Racing, drove to Webster City. And we got there and ran the heat race, did our thing. You know, it's a USRA track, so it's a little bit different cause from the IMCA sanctioning. But it's a different type of racing there. And you're doing probably, I'd say, 100 to 105 in them stock cars. And modifieds are clipping around there. But we totaled that car last night. That night. We totaled it. Brand spanking new that first night. And I said, you know what? I got to get the monkey off my back. That, like, I don't like that. We didn't even get a good shot at this place to see how it went. Well, that summer, after I got another new car, we went back there and tell you what, I fell in love with that place. That place is just a whole different style of racing, and it's fun. I mean, I've raced Vegas, I've raced Boone, I've raced, you know, Estevan, I've raced in Lee County Speedway in Iowa, I mean, Arizona. I mean, I went from a little bull ring track at Canyon, up in Peoria, Arizona, to ET, which is Arizona Speedway, which is very similar to Williston, but with a wall around it, you know, like there, I'm still telling you that place at Webster City, the Hamilton County Speedway, nothing compares. In my eyes, it's just the vibe you get when you pull in there. The grandstands are built into the side of a hill. You drive down into the pit park in the middle and you look around and there's trees all the way around you. There's a river behind there and there's, you look up into the grandstands. I mean, it's just something about that place. It's just fun.
No, that's awesome. And I mean, you know, hey, maybe for you, that's the way God intended it to look. And you found that honey hole, and that's what it's all about. But, you know, like I said, what if you could change anything right now in the IMCA world, in stock car world, whatever you want to call it, what would be that one thing you would change? You think that would make things better?
Oh, you're putting me on the spot on that one. I'll tell you what. The one thing I could change in the stock car world, actually, I'm going to go a little bit out of this. I'm not going to say quite stock car world. I'm going to say sanctioning bodies. I wish the two sanctioning bodies, there's three sanctioning bodies, actually, WSOTA, IMCA, and USRA, which WSOTA for us in the stock car world isn't quite close. They're not really even really remotely close to us, but USRA is, and some has their benefits and some has their, you know, not benefits, but it seems like those two sanctioning bodies don't want to get along. And I think for the racer aspect of things, we don't have USRA up here in North Dakota, but down a lot of other places, Texas, Iowa, Wisconsin, I mean, there's a lot of other places. If those two sanctioning bodies would just cut the crap, in my eyes, that's just my opinion, cut the crap and just get along, I think it'd be better for racers, because you'd have the guys that want to come race IMCA on Friday and then Saturday race USRA and then maybe Sunday race IMCA again or vice versa. It sucks seeing that, and I see it on Facebook because I see one sanctioning body inviting the other sanctioning body over, and then I have one, and then I see one DQing people because they have the other sanctioning body sticker on there. Like, that's what bothers me. That actually bothers me more than anything, is that those two sanctioning bodies can't get along. You know, that bothers me.
No, and we talk about it, you know, I talk about it with a lot of people is, if I go and race at this track, I got to set my car up completely different. You know what? Why don't you just honor, it's just like NHRA and IHRA. I always tell people, it's like, if you go to IHRA rules, NHRA won't allow you. And some NHRA tracks don't like RHRA. And it's like, dude, you're all there to do the same thing. Everyone wants to drive fast and take chances. And if you're not going to let people do that, then why even be a sanctioning body and why even be a part of motorsports?
Well, absolutely. And that's what I try to, you know, I see that from both aspects of it. And if the two sanctioning bodies would look at it on a positive side, they're there to make money. It's more money in their pocket if they got along, but they won't. Like, one tries to and the other one just refuses. So that's where I sit with it. That's what sucks sometimes. I don't like that.
No, I totally get it. I understand exactly how you feel on that. You know, we fight the battle here in drag racing world too, but it seems like more and more each year I am more tempted to, I don't know what class yet. I'm kind of thinking stock car or hobby stock. I don't know for sure, but I'm thinking more and more that I should, you know, get behind the wheel of one of these crazy things. And I guess rubbing is racing, even though I can't understand the concept of that. But, you know.
Yeah.
But.
You know what's fun, though? I'll tell you right now, Sam, is going out there with your friends and everybody else. And some of the best racing I can remember, you know, is racing against Jorn and Mike and Dalton and Joe. I mean, there's times, there's some people you can throw it in there on the bottom and slide all the way to the top and they'll pass you right again. And then there's some people that'll go in there and, you know, and we'll rub a little bit, but you know what? That's a chance. Like you said, you're taking a chance. And some of my favorite memories are racing against Jorn right now. You know, I mean, that was one of my heroes growing up. You know, I got a picture with him when I was little, during the Trophy Dash days. You know, I got a picture with him when I was like three. You know, I got to race Jorn now, you know, and having Mike, who I looked up to forever, racing against him, you know, and Dalton and I are pretty close in the same age. He started a year earlier than I did, but I mean, we grew up racing together and started kind of at the same time. You know, that's a big thing to me, you know, and I got to see him do a lot of really cool things and win a lot of cool things too. You know, the kid's very, very talented, you know, and you know, he's the youngest driver in North Dakota or in history, I think, to win the Dakota Mod Tour. I mean, he's made the big dance at Super Nationals. I mean, and Jorn, like I said, you go back into the Jorn, the Mike, you know, it's just cool that we get to do that week in and week out with our friends.
No, and that's awesome. And, you know, it feels like that. And like you touched on before, bring your kids down to the pits. If you guys ever want to see what these guys and these girls are really like, come down. There may be some choice words said depending on what time you come down, if it's, you know. But for the most part, man, you can, and I've seen it, you can go from one trailer to a next, and even if you don't like the guy on race day, even if you don't really like him, if you want to see people thrashing on someone's car to make sure they can make it out there, or if they can, you know, if they hurt a motor and you got a spare, you'll see guys drive 2 hours, you know, on a doubleheader night to put, help a guy and say, hey, you know what, I don't like him, but he wants to race, and I'm willing to go and get a motor for him and bring it back. So it's definitely cool to see. And I mean, I enjoy spending the $30-$40 every weekend wherever I go and saying, you know what, hey, I'm going down to the pits and I'm shaking hands, doing interviews, and just continuing to be around motorsports.
Since you brought up the whole driving 2 hours and everything else, I gotta say something. This winter, I saw one of the funniest and coolest things I've ever seen in racing.
Please tell me it was Reed Hansen's car ending up in the slough in the highway. Please tell me that was a funny.
That was pretty funny. That was pretty funny. I did see that on Facebook. That's hilarious. But one of the coolest things and funniest things I've ever seen, and craziest actually, was there's a guy by the name of Bo Partain from Arizona right now. He races a sport bond, and he races a stock car too. He's not half bad in either one of them. I mean, he could be better, but right now he's your current IMCA national point leader in the sport mod. And he's running for national points, and how that works is you have to have so many wins and so many starts. Well, a couple of tracks in Arizona went on top of each other. Well, he was leading points at both of them. So he needed to make sure he could race both of them in the same day. And I'm not kidding you, he had one car at Canyon and one car at Yuma, Arizona. Yuma to Canyon is 4 hours. He raced Canyon at 2 o'clock, and he left there at 2:30. He won the feature, or yes, second in the feature at Canyon, and drove 4 hours and tagged the back of the field in Yuma, Arizona with his other car and got second. That's crazy. That's the craziest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
No, that's, no way. Yeah. Hopefully he had a driver so he could sleep the whole way from one track to another. I'm telling you,
I've never seen it, but he did it and he pulled it off. It was wild. It was probably one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's awesome. But Jake, you know, before we let you go here, if there's anyone out there that's helped you out for this year, for the 2021 race season, the 2020 race season, you know, past, present, or whatever, if there's anyone you want to thank, I'll give you this time right here to thank before we let you go.
Yeah, you know what? First of all, I got to thank my family. I mean, this is a family sport. My dad, my grandpa bought me my first race car when I was, you know, 10. We had a driver by the name of Jeff Keeley. The Keeleys were big in North Dakota for a while. They raced a lot of years. He drove for us for a while. They were a big influence on me, you know, getting racing. And my dad, he's always supported me every weekend. You know, I got to thank John and Steve Colell. I mean, without them guys, every single week, I couldn't race. I couldn't. Back when I was selling cars, I wouldn't get sometimes off work till 8 o'clock at night, and they'd start at 6, and they'd be almost done by the time I got here. I mean, them guys are awesome. You know, now I got to thank Seth Dixon for the opportunity that he's given me now with SRD Motorsports and being part of his program and trying to improve his, you know, program on the racing side of things, and then allowing me to do a lot of different adventures and go racing in Arizona and be, you know, with him and stuff like that. So that's a really big thing for me. Mike Hoddenfield with Brookfield Farms, he's been a great supporter for me for a lot of years. Red Rock Ford, you know, I worked for them for a long time. They're a big supporter in racing in general. It's not just me. I know they sponsor a lot of cars. But, you know, I appreciate them. Worldwide Rental Service out of Denver, they're a big sponsor to me. They've been with me since I started. Mars Williston, Buster's Bar. We got Ackerman Esfold out of Minot. We got Olimitas. We got Rebel Media. We got Tyler Hagen Photography. We got G-Man with D-Style Transport. G-Man is a very good supporter of racing in general. He has a lot of big sponsors on a lot of big cars that you see even in the World of Outlaws. And, you know, I'm very fortunate that he's willing to give me, you know, help me out with things. You got Cybisma Graphics, who does an awesome job on the side of my car. We got McIver Farms on the side of my car. We got Williston Equipment Sales, which is our mine and my dad's business that we have off the side. We got iBox Springs. They're a new one for 2021. I'm very fortunate to have Jeremy. He helped me out with that. 01 Shock. Rips Performance. They're a new one for 2021. I mean, them guys, if they've been awesome for me. Just trying to think, make sure I got all these. Hopefully, I wonder if I got a little cheat sheet over here.
Nothing wrong.
Oh, Darn TV. I can't forget Darn TV. Can't forget Darn TV.
We cannot. But no, man.
Then I got Wide Open Race Engine. So they've been a great supporter of me too. So yeah, I can't thank everybody enough. I mean, it's been an awesome ride so far, and you know, hopefully we got a lot of good things going. We're in a brand new chassis this year. We got a brand new 2021 DeVilbiss chassis. We got the only one in North Dakota right now. Zane is multinational championship in the modified division. He won the Duel in the Desert in a stock car. We talked and we got a deal worked out, and I'm running one of his cars, and I can tell you what, it's a hot rod. It really is. It's going to be a good car, so I'm excited for that.
Well, we hope to, you know, see you at the track, get you some winner circles, and you know, we're releasing this new thing that's coming out. It's going to be live Monday nights. It's something that I'm going to be doing. It's going to kind of be a race review weekend, get people on the show, talk to them, and it'll be a live thing, interaction. So I'm super excited about that. But again, man, it's always a pleasure to have another North Dakotan, another race guy here that understands what it's like, you know, the ins and the outs of the racing industry. But again, Jake, best of wishes to you here this year, and thanks for coming on In the Groove podcast.
Awesome. Thank you very much, and I appreciate everything you do for the racing community, Sam. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, we hope to see you here at a track very soon.
Awesome. Sounds good.
All right, everybody, again, that was Jake Nelson, the 10J out of Williston, North Dakota. Like I said, man, going from a president to a pit guy and just everything in between, it's always, always, always nice to have someone to come on In the Groove podcast, talk to us about racing and everything racing, because let's face it, we love it and we enjoy it. But everybody, I do want to talk to you about a lot of new stuff that's kind of coming down the pipeline that's about to happen. So here's the big announcement, right? Mondays, every Monday night, I will be doing a race review. Thank you. Brought to you by Darn TV. We'll be doing a race review, kind of just talking over what the racing was like this weekend, who are our winners, maybe get some of our winners on the show and just talk to them and see how it goes. And that's going to be still looking for the good name of it, but it'll be a Monday night kind of review of what our racing weekend was like. Also want to thank the good folks over at Raise Energy. Guys and girls, if you know me, I love my energy drink, so I cannot thank Raise enough. I am a part of the Rebellion, so if you guys want any good sugar-free, no hard crash or anything like that, if you want energy drinks, please reach out to me, let me know. I can get you some samples of that. Can't thank Raise enough. Also, Out of 3 and 4 has a sponsor. Thank you to Two Dark Motorsports. So if you need a wrap, if you need t-shirts, if you need sweet hoodies, they make the Mad Bro Motorsports hoodies and the Outlaw Performance ENT hoodies that'll be dropping this year. So thanks to Two Dark Motorsports. To Finish Line Burger, Clint and the crew over there, thank you guys for coming on board for the 2021 race season. And if you guys want to be a part of it, have any questions, comments, concerns, you guys can get a hold of us and send your feedback to inthegroovepodcast@gmail.com. Again, that is inthegroovepodcast@gmail.com. But like always, this has been another great episode of In the Groove Podcast. This has been another episode of In the Groove Podcast, brought to you by Mad Bro Motorsports, Power Bit Tools, El Azteca Mexican Food, and the good folks over at Outlaw Performance ENT. If you have not done already, please like us on all of our social medias. That is Instagram, Facebook, and our YouTube channel. Hit that subscribe button so you can get all the updates to everything we've got going on, and you can stay in the groove and smash that loud pedal.